Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. For His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and I hold Him close unto me. From care He sets me free. For His eyes on the sparrow, and I knew He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. For His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Yes, His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Thank you, Brother Eloy. I appreciate that this morning. Good morning once again. It is good to have everybody in our service today. We are certainly glad that you are here this morning. Would you please stand with me As we read from the scripture this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah today, if you would. And we're going to plug into chapter number 32, book of Isaiah, chapter number 32, and verse number 2. Follow along with me as I read from the scripture this morning. If you need a copy of the Word of God, there's one under the chair right in front of you. So please avail yourself to that. Go ahead and use that while you're here. We just ask that you'll leave that so somebody will be able to use it next time. Isaiah chapter 32, and I want to read from verse number 2 this morning. Isaiah writes there in the 32nd chapter in verse number 2, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and a shadow of great rock in a very weary land." Pray with me, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, as we continue an attitude of worship this morning, we pray, dear God, that you might just still our hearts. Dear God, Satan's already been at work in our service this morning, and Lord, two of our precious men having to leave because of health issues, and Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would be with both of them today. Watch over them, take care of them, bless them. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you will be with those in our ministry today who have hurting hearts. Lord, that you would touch those hearts and heal them today. Lord, that you would have your will and way in the service. Thank you for the message and song that was sung this morning that serves as a good foundation for my message today. We ask, Lord, that you would bless, that you would have your will and way, and everything that's said and done, it'll be done to your honor and glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much. Be seated, if you would, please. The title of my message this morning is A Living Refuge. A Living Refuge. Jesus Christ is our living refuge. What a wonderful thought this morning. As Isaiah opens up the 32nd chapter of the book of Isaiah there, understanding that he is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, notice what he says in verse number, what he pens for us in verse number 1. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness." He could not have understood as he penned those words that he was proclaiming something that would take place long after his death. In fact, some 2,700 years after his death. He's speaking about the reign of a righteous king, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He is speaking about the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what else he says there in that great verse. He says, "And princes shall rule in judgment." We are going to rule and reign one of these days as princes in the millennial kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought. Verse number 2 backs up a little bit, not speaking about the millennial appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather about his first appearance. We see it here in verse number 2. "And a man shall be as an hiding place." A man. Who is that man? That man is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here in verse number 2, we see him as a Savior. I want you to understand this morning that I serve a risen Savior. He is in the world today. Oh, what a wonderful thought. What a wonderful blessing that is today. Jesus lives today. You say, how do I know he lives? I know he lives because he lives within my heart and in the heart of every believer who has ever invited him into their heart. He abides this morning through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Let's read the verse again. "And a man, Jesus Christ, shall be in hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and as shadows of a great rock in a very weary land." I have a 3-point outline this morning. The first point is this. This man saves or protects. This man, Jesus Christ, saves, or protects. Isaiah said about him, he is an hiding place. Go with me, if you would, please, in the scripture, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 32, and I want to begin to read in verse number 7 this morning. The 32nd chapter of the book of Psalms, in verse number 7, notice what David, the great king, writes about this coming king. Notice he says, "Thou art my hiding place." He's speaking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is personalizing for himself and for all of us this morning. And I want you to understand, as you read that verse, you can insert yourself this morning into that verse. He is our hiding place. Jesus Christ is a place of safety. He saves us and protects us. What a wonderful thought that is this morning. Notice what he says. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. What a wonderful thought this morning. Let me say to you this morning, if Satan is attacking you today, if Satan is coming after you with everything he's got this morning, I want you to run to the safety of Jesus Christ. He is your hiding place this morning. Run to the Savior. Run to him today. He will protect you. He will exalt you. He will lift you up. He is your salvation today. He is the one who will deliver you. He is the one who will protect you. And as David said there, he is my hiding place. He will give you a song. Other places in the scripture, it talks about having a song in the night, trusting God to give you a song of deliverance, trusting God to bring to your remembrance those wonderful, wonderful psalms that are written throughout the scripture and spiritual songs that God gives us along the way. God loves us. God cares about us. And he gives us a hiding place. And it is through the personage of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you have a place to run to today when Satan is after you, when the world is against you, when all manner of things and accusations come against you? I want you to understand, child of God, this morning, you have a hiding place, and it is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Thank the Lord for that. He is our hiding place. He hides us from the wind of temptation. Sometimes the wind of temptation blows softly. We have to understand that Satan is very subtle. Remember what he did in the Garden of Eden when he came to Eve. He was very subtle. He put a question mark upon the Word of God, and he asked the woman this question, "Hath God said?" Let me give you the answer to that. Yes, yes, 10,000 times, yes. God has said in his word what he will do for us. He will protect us. And let us understand this morning that we need to cling to that, because we have a Savior who saves, who protects, who keeps us and hides us from the winds of temptation. Go with me, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, if you would please, and chapter number 10. And I want to read there in verse number 13. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes. He records for us there. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." In other words, there is nothing new under the sun. There is no thing that the devil can throw at you. There is no new obstacle that the devil can put in your path. He is repetitive. He has nothing new. He comes after God's saints and he accuses us before the Father. And I want you to know that there is no temptation but such as is common to man. But notice what it also says, God is faithful. Jesus Christ is faithful this morning. He is your hiding place. Notice what he says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. It does not say that he will not allow us to be tempted. He said he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to overcome. Why? Because we have a hiding place, and his name is Jesus Christ. We have a hiding place. We have a place that we can go. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to do what? To bear it. You can hold up under the temptation. You can walk through the trial. You can walk through that path because you and I this morning, thank God, we have a living refuge. We have a hiding place, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is our living refuge. Not only is he able to hide us from the wind of temptation, but he is also able to hide us from the tempest of wrath. The tempest of wrath. When that mighty tempest comes upon you and you wonder if you will survive. If you wonder, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm not going to live through this thing. God, you've got to intervene, and by his grace he does, because he loves you and he cares about you. And understand this morning, you can stand up under any tempest that the devil throws at you, because you are hid with Christ in Almighty God. Go, if you would please, to Colossians chapter number 3 and I want to look at verse number 1. We'll start there, if you would please, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Paul promises to us this morning, if we are hid in Christ, how do we get hid in Christ? We receive him as our Lord and Savior. He is our protector. He is our refuge. He is the one that we can run to in the time of temptation. He is the one that we can run to when the tempest comes against us and the waves are roaring, and it seems like it's going to tear our home apart. It seems like the devil is just running rampant. He is going to cause division in a church. He is going to get between church members. He is going to bring accusation against the saints through other saints. He is going to do everything he can to try to drive a wedge between God's people. And I want you to understand this morning that we have a refuge, and his name is Jesus Christ. Notice what it goes on to say. Verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Do you understand that that is talking about when he comes to rule and reign on this earth again? You are going to appear with Jesus Christ. He is the victor. He is the one who is going to overcome everything in life. My friend, cling to him today. I want to help you to understand that we have a refuge, and his name is Jesus. What a wonderful thought. Wonderful, wonderful thought. He is a hiding place. He hides us from the wind of temptation, and he hides us from the wrath of the devil. Your life is hid with Christ in Almighty God. You are safe in his hand this morning. So it doesn't matter how the battle rages. It does not make any difference, because you are safe with him. The second point of my outline this morning is, this man satisfies. This man satisfies. He is like a river of water in a dry place. Go back with me, if you would please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 32. Notice what it says, and a man shall be an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, in a dry, parched land. We live in the Southwest. We know what it is to be parched. We know what it is to go months on end without rain, without water from heaven. Sometimes we go through a dry, dry, dry time in our life. But I want you to understand, that there's a living water that is able to sustain us. There is a living water who is able to help us. He is like a river of water in a dry place. You remember the children of Israel? They have left Egypt. They've crossed over the Red Sea, or under the Red Sea, literally. They've gotten to the other side. They've been victorious. They begin their walk with the Lord, heading towards Canaan. And they come up to different obstacles where they need water. One of the times that they come and need water, they come to what they think is an oasis. But it is bitter water. And they are angry and they are upset with Moses because he's led them to this place. And Moses is in anguish with the Lord over this bitter water. And the Lord gives him instructions. He says, you see that tree? You cut that tree down and you throw it into the water. And the water shall become sweet. You see, we have living water today. We have Jesus Christ. He is able to make the bitter water of life sweet to our taste. He is the living water. He is that well of water that comes up from within. They marched a little further and they needed water. They were parched and they began to grumble and complain to Moses again. And God says, Moses, you see that rock over there? Take your staff and strike that rock. And when he did, water, life-giving water, came forth from the rock. God took care of his people. That was a picture of the living water, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It happened again. They get further down the road, and once again, there's no drinking water. This time, God says to Moses, Moses, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Moses becomes angry. And instead of speaking to the rock, he strikes the rock. God still gives the response. He gives life-giving water. But Moses doesn't get to go to the promised land because he broke the type. He was disobedient to the Lord God. Oh, he's in heaven. Don't worry about that. He's there. He's there. But he got to see the promised land from a distance. But he did not get to step one foot inside of it because of disobedience. Listen to me this morning. Jesus Christ is living water. He satisfies us in the dry places. The water of life that I'm speaking about this morning cannot be found in man-made wells. Man-made wells. All around this city, there are water tanks that might provide water that will sustain us for a while. But that water does not bring eternal life. But there is a well of water, and it is supernatural. And it is this man that is being spoken about in Isaiah chapter number 32. He is the living water. You remember when the woman at the well found Jesus? When she came to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? Every day she would come at the hottest time of the day and she would come to get water because of her reputation. And she would draw water. She would not have any competition because she'd be the only one there. All the other ladies of the city would come early in the morning in the cool of the day. But here she comes in the hot heat of the afternoon. And she is drawing water. And there's this rabbi who is sitting there. And he asks her for a drink. And she thinks, this is odd. I'm a Samaritan and this man who is a Jew is asking me for a drink. And Jesus launches into a dialogue with her and begins to tell her that he can give her water to drink, that if she will drink of that water, she will never thirst again. What is Jesus talking about? He is talking about the living water. Jesus Christ is that living water. If you've ever crossed the desert, if you've ever driven from here to Needles, California. You know, there just ain't a whole lot of water between here and there. They're just not. I mean, you leave here and you begin to climb and you get to Gallup and you get to Flagstaff and you're up there about 8,000 feet. And then all of a sudden you begin to drop and you drop and you drop and you drop and you drop. And you get out there on the desert floor and you get out there by Kingman and it's just as dry as it can be. And then you drive about another 30 miles and there is water. And it is so welcome. The Colorado River. That's what Jesus is to your thirsty soul. He is that life-giving water. Oh, don't you want to embrace Him? Don't you want to drink of the water that He gives? This man, Jesus Christ, saves. This man, Jesus Christ, satisfies. And this man also shelters. He also shelters. Notice what it says there in chapter 32. It says, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So this man not only saves and protects, he also satisfies by giving life-giving water, and he also shelters. He is as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Turn with me, if you would please, to once again to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 in the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, if you would please. And this time I want to plug in at verse number 4. Notice what it says. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. He is speaking about the Jewish people when they are out there on the desert. And he goes on to say, and all to drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Jesus Christ is our rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus is our rock today. He is our shelter. There was a song that was written almost 100 years ago in 1922. The title is Hiding in the Shadow of the Rock. Though the night be dark and stormy, though the sky be overcast, I'm hiding in the shadow of the rock. Though the tempest rage about me, safely from its awful blast, I'm hiding in the shadow of the rock. The refrain goes on to say, I am hiding in the shadow of the rock. I am hiding in the shadow of the rock. I can never, never fear while my Savior is so near. I am hiding in the shadow of the rock. Verse 2, when the storms of hell are breaking, that would sink me in despair, I am hiding in the shadow of the rock. I am resting oh so sweetly, for no harm can reach me there. I am hiding in the shadow of the rock. Third stanza. Just abiding in the covert, neath his tender loving care, I am hiding in the shadow of the rock. Strengthened by his love and kindness, watching always unto prayer, I am hiding in the shadow of the rock. Aren't you glad there is a rock to run to today of safety? Aren't you glad there's a place that you can go, that you can gather in the shadow of the rock? The rock is Jesus Christ. There's nobody can reach you when you're hiding in Jesus. No one can get you there. Run to the place of safety. Run to that rock today. He is that rock. He is that refuge. He is that hiding place. He is that living water. He is that rock of protection. He wants to help you. He cares about you. And He will deliver you if you will let Him. Not only is He the shadow of the rock in a dry and weary land, you need to remember that in the times when you grow weary and the long night is dreary, Jesus is that rock. He is that place of safety. Go with me one more time to the Old Testament, if you would, please. Let's go to the book of Ruth this morning, if you would. The book of Ruth in the Old Testament, if you would. And I want to begin to read there in chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Read along with me, if you would, please. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." If you know the story of Ruth, you know that it's one of the greatest love stories that has ever been told. Ruth is not a Jew. She is not a Hebrew by birth. However, she is married to a Jewish man. That man dies, and now she is left alone. Along with her mother-in-law, they travel back to Canaan. They travel back to the place of her former husband's birth. And God places her in the area where Boaz is a rich man. She does not know what God is doing in the heart of Boaz. She just asked to have the freedom to go through and glean after the workers have gone through the field and just take the scraps. Just take what is left behind. And notice what he says. Let's read the verse again. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." And she fell on her face, and she bowed to the ground, and she said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" She doesn't get this, and she doesn't understand this. And the reality is, that's what grace is all about. We have this great picture in the book of Ruth of the kinsman redeemer. Boaz as the picture of Christ. Ruth as the picture of the sinner, unworthy, in need of salvation, in need of provision. And this great man goes out of his way to help this poor, unfortunate widow. He provides for her. He takes care of her. What a wonderful thought this morning. I am not worthy of salvation. I do not deserve it for one moment, but a loving God has provided it. A loving God has made a way so that I can come to the Father. Notice what it goes on to say in verse number 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which knowest not hitherto for. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, O Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you learned to trust and lean on the Savior today? The one who loves you, the one who cares about you, the one who wants to help you. You say, "Your brother Don, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand my heartache. You don't understand the things that I encounter on a day-by-day basis. But I do understand this. I know that I have an enemy, and that is Satan. And I know I have a Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. And I know that He cares for me." This song was written in 1901. It's entitled, "Does Jesus Care?" Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for myrrh or song? as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into the deep night shadows, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though the tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? It is aught to him. Does he care? Let me answer that question this morning. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with your grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Friend, Jesus cares about you this morning. He cares about your heartache. He cares about what you're going through. He knows about it already. Come to him. Talk to him. Bring your burdens to Jesus Christ. The devil is at work in these last days, splitting up marriages, destroying Christian homes. It does not have to be that way. The devil is at work, tempting the children of God. Friend, it does not have to be that way. We have a living refuge. And his name is Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I'm so tired of Satan destroying homes. Homes of Christian people. I'm so tired of Satan getting in to the hearts and lives of our children and our grandchildren. Father, help us to realize today we have a refuge. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he does care for us. He does love us. He wants to repair our homes. He wants to put them back on solid ground. Help us today. Lord, speak to hearts and lives of individuals this morning. People, dear God, who are hurting. People who need your help today. May they look to you. May they run to you today. Because you are that place of shelter. You are that place of spiritual nourishment. And you will quench their thirst, their spiritual thirst. Help us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Would you please?